Tuesday is, of course, when we do Tuesday Book Club. Otherwise, we'd call it something other than Tuesday Book Club. And when we do talk books, it's Andrew Popel from Final Draft right here on 2SER that we chat to. Very good morning, sir.
Good morning, Nick. It's very apt that you point out the really pragmatic naming of our book club, because today I wanted to share a book from another book club that you can find on 2SER. Once a month, I get together with David Winter. He's a senior editor at Text Publishing. And along with another special guest, we delve into the catalogue of classic Australian writing. We call it the Aussie Classics Book Club because search engine optimization is a thing. So you shouldn't have any trouble Googling it. Go ahead. I'll wait. No. Look, recently in the Aussie Classics Book Club, we featured Wake in Fright by Kenneth Cook.
Yes.
Now, the 1961 novel yielded a film adaptation in 1971 that's gone on to become a cult classic in Australian cinema. There's also a new adaptation coming soon to Channel 10, starring, among others, David Wenham and Alex Dimitriadis.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a lot of ways to enjoy this story. And if my history with sugary soft drinks has taught me anything, it means that the original has more than earned the title of classic.
Nice.
Yeah, I see what I did there. I love revisiting and sharing these classic works because they're such important touchstones to our culture. And before you get too misty-eyed with memories of the good old days, Wake in Fright, as with many of the books that we discuss on the Aussie Classics Book Club, doesn't suffer from any rose-coloured myopia, nor does it seek to create that comfortable feeling that we might call nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
These books are important now more than ever because we seem to be in a state of permanent culture war over what it means to be Australian. And when it feels like every second day someone in a blue tie wants to bemoan the loss of an Australian way of life and, in scare quotes, traditional values, it can be really helpful to explore what people thought and how we portrayed and we examined ourselves at different points through our history. And what better way to do it than through the lens of art? So Wake in Fright. Wake in Fright takes us to the regional town of Bundan Yabba. The Yabba, if you suffer a fetish for shortening names, and tick, I think just there we met our first cultural touchstone of Australia.
Very much so.
Yeah. So John Grant is a coastal Australian, teaching out the terms of his contract with the Department of Education, and he generally sees Bundan Yabba as a kind of hell. So, cultural cringe, disregard for regional Australia, that's two more ticks. So, John becomes stuck in the Yabba after blowing his entire wages on the toss of a coin at the local two-up game. And then he descends into a drug and alcohol-fueled haze over the course of several days. So, tick for booze, tick for gambling. Now, about now, you're going to be assuming that the story ends with lockout laws being implemented across the Yabba that have indirectly led to John no longer being able to afford a home in his local area. But instead, we have this finely wrought portrait of psychological dissent as John struggles to fit in with the local community, where he discovers that the only unforgivable sin is to refuse to have a drink with a man. Wake in Fright holds a mirror up to many of the wide disparities in Australian life. It's often described as horror, and it would be tempting to see this label emerging from the brutality and the sinister threat that each character seems to present to John. People who have read the book, people who have seen the film, will probably remember the scene where they go on a roo hunt, and it just descends into this sort of weird phantasmagoria of booze, drugs, and violence. It's really fun. I haven't even seen this part of the film.
Right.
I've only read it, and it's really evocative and really quite frightening. But look, every moment of terror that John experienced, it's a result of a decision poorly made. We get this sense that there's this sheer pointlessness of John's sorry fate, because at every turn he could have made a different decision. This is all brought on himself, and that to me is the real horror of it. Despite his seeming sophistication and education, these only serve to highlight the fall that he takes. Oh, and the female characters, few that they are generally only play a small role and then only as sexual fodder. So a final tick for, points of Australian culture. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Look, Wake in Fright, it's not a documentary. It's not a history, but it is a fine look at Australia and one of our many ways of being. These darker sides of our nature are so quickly glossed over when we begin criticizing other cultures, and it's really worthwhile considering these many versions of Australia.
I think it's a really interesting one to be looking at.
Yeah. Oh, it works on so many levels. I mean, you can read this as entertainment. You can read this as a sort of an outback, you know, we tend to have this idea that we write about the bush and the beach. Mm. So you could read it as a bush novel. But really, Kenneth Cook sets up at the beginning, when I describe John as a coastal Australian, that is how John is introduced to us. Kenneth Cook has him as a coastal Australian, one of those who live on that narrow strip of land, narrow strip of fertile land that, abridges the sea. And there's some suggestion that Kenneth Cook, this was inspired by, as a reporter, he worked in Broken Hill, and that perhaps he really didn't have a great regard for the interior compared to his coastal way of life. But I think what he does is really to set up the disparity and allows us to see that both the people of the interior and the people of the coast can have this horrible side to themselves, and that when John indulges in that, it leads to his downfall.
He's an amazing writer, Kenneth Cook. I was saying to you before that I actually knew him for his very, very funny short story collections, which I adored as a kid. And it took me a long time as an adult to reconcile that these were the same people had written Wake and Fright and The Killer Koala.
He has enormous diversity as a writer. His first book, which the name escapes me, before Wake and Fright, was actually banned.
Wow.
It was considered libelous. And then many other books have received much acclaim. He became quite a genre writer not long before his death. I won't say his later years because he actually died quite young. But he's a wide range. Wake and Fright is really considered his masterpiece. And look, I would say if you want to hear a deeper discussion of Wake and Fright, I would go and check out the book club there where I spoke with David Winter from Text, but also Kriv Stenders. So Kriv's a director who is known for Red Dog. And he is directing the special two-part adaptation of Wake and Fright that's coming soon to Channel 10. So it's up on the final draft page at 2SER.com, and we really get into a lot of what this story means and how it has such resonance with our current era. And Kriv's amazing talking about that because, of course, he's realizing it in a much more modern way.
I think it's fantastic, and it is certainly a book that deserves a much deeper dive than we can afford it on a Tuesday morning. So
absolutely.
Do go along and have a listen to that. What do we want to talk about for next week's book club?
We're gonna stay in this vein of just these amazing Australian books. Very new book. It's called Taboo. It's by Miles Franklin winner Kim Scott.
Ah.
And look, I'm really excited because it does deal with some really important issues that, again, aren't getting a lot of... that often don't get enough time, including things like the frontier wars and the way that colonization happened and the way we perhaps haven't ever properly reconciled, come to terms and confronted that part of our past.
That sounds like an incredibly important topic for a novel. We will chat that this time next week. Andrew Purple, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. See you then.
See you then.